Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel.
Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet. And the reason I left that on the logo for so long was that the audio doesn't travel over. Sorry. And this is Dillsnoid.
I'm Dylan Reeve. Come with me if you want to live. That's it. That's what I came up with.
And he is?
Hello, I'm Jose. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it is nice to be. It's nice to have you here.
2 frames per second, but that's cool.
Yeah, we gave Jose the crappy camera. I didn't realize it was crappy. Well, I mean, I have tested it. I didn't realize it was crappy when I first plugged it in. I knew it was crappy when I put it on him.
It's funny that
isn't it astonishing that in the studio he has potentially worse video quality than I do sitting at home on the end of a Skype connection.
These are the many contradictions of the modern world.
Anyway, I apologize for the quality of your video. Maybe I'll have to get another one of his.
It's cool, man. It's cool.
It's one of the one of the Logitech ball ones on a stalk.
It certainly is balls.
It is. It's shinier than my own head.
It's very shiny though. Strange because it doesn't actually look cheap.
I don't think it is cheap. I think it cost more than this one when it was first released. So I have no idea if anyone's watching or if they're talking back to us. So anyone who's listening, maybe if you at DiscourseNZ, that might work.
Do that.
Mention that. Or just mention at the Morgan, I guess, if you've got a question or a comment. Like, for instance, if you think, what is that? Who's doing that?
Not me. I don't think it's
me. Oh, it's me. It's over here. It's in this little thing. Apparently people are. I've got a message from Ben. Chat is going. People are watching. He's getting the IRC up. Let me see about Discourse/live. Maybe I can turn that on and we can have the IRC going on there. Do. Is this a good show so far?
Yeah, it's really a real.
I'm not entirely sure why you do all your admin stuff and housekeeping during the show. I don't know. Maybe am I being crazy?
Is that not how you guys do it on like the proper TV shows and stuff?
Well, actually,
I'm pretty sure I've watched Media 7 and seen Russell, you know, talking about moving cameras around. And is that not what's happening?
That's when we have a postmodern moment. Yeah.
Right.
Should I start again from scratch?
No. I'm just pointing.
No. Let's look. The cat's out of the bag now. Let's just keep going.
Welcome back. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. What do you say for that? I don't even know. I don't know what the.
It's almost Happy Easter.
I don't think Easter's meant to be a happy holiday, is it? Happy Chinese New Year. Happy birthday to me for a while ago. Anyone else had a birthday since we were on hiatus? Merry Kwanzaa and holidays. Oh, Happy New Year. Did I say that? Happy New Year.
Suddenly realised I'm uncomfortable being on camera, so I'm just going to address this issue. Hang on.
I can just put it on me if you like.
No, it's fine. No, hang on.
I'm comfortable in pretty much all situations.
Yeah. There we go. This should fix it. I'll fix myself now.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That's why you pay the big
bucks.
You
actually look like a poo.
That's not very nice.
No, I'm just being honest.
The anonymizing thing doesn't really work when you have a little thing at the bottom with my name on it.
That's true, but I suppose I can move it.
No, that's fine. We'll just leave it like this. Look, I can move my head.
Change it to David Need.
I can put a more appropriate one on. I can put it on blurry vision, maybe. Is that what I've called it? I don't even remember.
Don't know. Hey, are we going to talk about some stuff?
Oh, if you like. I guess we could.
It's either that or I'm just going to sit here and draw something while you guys talk about stuff.
Oh, you tell me. What is draw something? Tell me about that.
Someone asked me to explain it in a tweet the other day, and I explained it with a simple word, Pictionary. It's Pictionary. Yeah. It's Pictionary on iPhones and iPods and iPads and Android phones, and not on Windows Phone 7, I don't think, and probably not on, what's the Nokia one called? Symbian.
I've got excellent news. I've just enabled DiscourseCoNZ/live, where we have an IRC chat room, and the justin.tv stream works in there. just the same as it does on justin.tv/discourse. So if you want to change over, you can go and talk to one person.
Yes, excellent.
Exclusive.
It is as exclusive as it gets.
That is great. So draw what is it called? Draw something, anything.
Draw something. Not anything, something.
Is it a free application?
Do you have to pay money for it? There is a free version and a paid version. The free version has ads. The paid version, not so much.
How does it, the game work? I assume it's like a game. Well, it is a game. You said it was like...
So you take turns. You get given a selection of, say, three words. You have to choose one. There are differing values and points to you. You choose one to draw.
Right.
You send it to somebody. So you have different games with different, you know, other players, friends from Facebook or whatever. You send them the drawing, and then they have to figure out what you've drawn. They get like a selection of letters. So they kind of pick from those letters to figure out what you've drawn.
Mm.
And then they draw something back to you, and the game continues that way. And you just keep going until someone gives up, and then you start again.
Ah, okay. That's interesting. It's quite popular. We were saying before that apparently Draw Something has had 20 million downloads a day.
Yeah, I'd love to know when it... I only heard about it literally just before the weekend was when I first noticed about it, and I don't know how long it's been around, but like it seems to have reached some sort of tipping point in the last few days.
It's only 5 weeks old.
There you go. And they've had something like... I mean, they had 5.5 million downloads on the Android store. So I don't know what that translates to in the iPhone world. But it must be effing shitloads. And that's on the free version. I don't know how much the paid version's had. But, you know, they're making tons from ads.
Yeah, they must be. It's just one of those... It's another one of those success stories.
I guess so, for someone. A company called OMG Pop.
Oh, yeah. Probably some 12-year-old in a basement somewhere.
Few things I'd like. I've drawn all these wonderful pictures, but I don't have them. Like, it would be really great if I could go to the website and, look through my past drawings. So I could say, look at this really awesome thing I drew, which is, let's be honest,
so,
it's probably
so famous. You can't save the drawings or something?
No, you can't. Well, you don't seem to be able to, at least.
Oh, really? So you can't sort of, there's not an option to save one to your phone or something?
No.
Oh, that's a bit strange.
Doesn't look like it.
How transient. It's interesting.
100,000 plus downloads on the paid version, so that's, you know, $100,000, but just broadly speaking.
Right. Well, they've done well.
That's an Android in
he covered iron. The ball carrying the...
Sorry, that's auto playing video. Very, very annoying. Very extremely annoying.
Yeah, well, there's only, according to this article I'm just reading, there's only 40 people on the team who made it.
Right, seems, so they're doing quite well now.
Yeah.
40?
Yeah, 40 people.
That must be enough company that, I mean, it didn't take 40 people to make that game.
Small team of only 40 people is what it says here, but I don't know.
4-0,
my friend.
I'm sure that's just the company, OMG Pop. I mean, because it wouldn't have actually taken 40 developers to build that game, or if it did, they were doing... Not much each.
There are a lot of specialization, yeah.
So it's 99 cents, and they've sold 20 million of them, did you say? Yep. And it's $1 each.
No. Was that sold, or was that probably the free version?
Oh. But it's $1. Why would you not pay for it? Who pays for free? Exactly. Well, plays for free when it's only $1? Android users, that's who.
Well, both, actually. Yeah.
Android users are murdering our own ecosystem.
The free version doesn't say how many downloads. You don't see how many downloads it's got on the iTunes store, do you? But it's got the free version has 60,000 votes, I think it was, or something like that. The free version has 450,000 ratings, and the paid version has... I don't know there must be some sort of, someone must have a statistic. The paid version has about 65,000 ratings. So, you know, you assume that a lot more people have played the free than the paid. But either way, lots of money.
Very similar story. Lesbian woman denied communion at mother's funeral.
Oh, that's not good. That's
basically
terrible.
Story.
Absolutely shocking. Just because... Maybe we can't even... Let's just stick with the upbeat stories this week, eh? ease back into it. I'm so frustrated by this. I mean, the church might be able to, I mean, the church obviously can make its own rules. Obviously. It's quite important that the organizations can make their own rules.
Well, not if they're breaching human rights.
This is offensive. Well, but I mean, I guess the thing is,
Is it a
human right?
It's not a human right to receive a religious right, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, if they're discriminated unfairly,
I can't go to a Church of Scientology and demand to be cleared. I have to, you know, go through the process of
paying.
paying.
Yeah. Watching the induction video. Actually, that's a good question. I wonder about that.
I have to swear. I mean, I can probably go and sit on an e-meter for a while and talk about my IQ.
But if you were, say you're a lifelong Christian, and you go to, you become, you decide, well, you don't decide, but you realize that you're gay, and you go to, and the next day you go to church, and they go, no, we can't give you communion. You can't drink that weak wine and eat that crappy little thing, which is probably just cardboard anyway. And they just say you can't do that. And you're like, what the? That would be discrimination, and that you could actually...
I don't know. It's a shitty situation, but I think that any organisation like that, which is essentially a private organisation, has the right to extend membership things to whoever it believes, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's borderline, because if, you know, you, I don't know if you'd be able to say, no, women can't do this, or... whatever, but
show you.
No, I don't know. It's complicated.
And it's, clearly, I just don't have any idea about whether it's, well, it's wrong. Oh, jeez, that's a big.
It's a shitty thing to do, but I'm not sure it would be an issue, a human rights issue.
Well, that's all good then. That's sorted.
Sorry, lady, you've got no right to take communion at your mother's own funeral, and the priest, unfortunately, has every right to leave the room when you come up to speak about your mother, your beloved mother, at her funeral.
Oh, he left the room, did he?
Yep, he walked away. But oh my god!
Well, that's well dickish. That is.
Yeah, well dickish. Well, I suppose we could actually. I mean, we could let her express this in her own. Words.
Eucharist with his hand and looked at me and said, I cannot give you communion because you live with a woman, and that is a sin in the eyes of the church.
Barbara Johnson recalls what happened last Saturday during her mother's funeral here at St. John Newman Catholic Church in Gaithersburg. Reverend Marcel Gernizzo, seen here at a conference, refused to serve her communion because she's a lesbian. He also left the altar during her eulogy and didn't proceed to the cemetery for her mother's burial. The family's devastated.
It's simply about a priest who denied my family the proper respect owed at the most personal time in one's life.
At this point, my family would like an apology from Father Marcel, and we would like to be assured that he will be removed from parish life.
The auxiliary bishop sent apology letters to the family stating, I am sorry that what should have been a celebration of your mother's life was overshadowed by a lack of pastoral sensitivity. In Gaithersburg, public reaction is mixed.
I don't think they should deny anybody communion.
I just think it's unfortunate. That shouldn't happen.
I understand where she's coming from. She feels like she has the right to be there at her mom's funeral too. But it is his church, it is the Catholic rule.
I mean, he has his own personal beliefs, and she has hers. So I can understand both sides of that.
Vox Pops always give me the shits. Because you discover how small a lot of people's minds are.
Oh, careful, you're delving well into Jose's world now.
Oh!
I think I've only done Vox Pops once. And
really?
It was for the express purpose of showing how small everyone's mind was.
That's really disappointing. How can you possibly work in some sort of television journalism type capacity and not just fall upon Vox Pops at every opportunity?
Basically, I don't like leaving the house, so I tend not to do it. If I can, yeah. And if I do, I mean, when I say Vox Pops, it was me and a few puppets I made out of some shoes.
Yeah,
and we just filmed it for that week.
That's
it seemed to work fine. Nobody really talked about it.
No, so that was cool. Possibly no one saw it.
Yeah, well, I think that's the, yeah, well, there you go.
Oh, wow, that was an awesome segue into a story that we haven't prepared at all. So
was it actually for TV, or was it just...
Yeah, it was for TV. It was one of the first, years ago when I first started at Media 7.
Oh, Okay, wasn't
Media 7. What's that? I haven't seen that. That's not in the listener. So what is the, where is that? Is that like a Facebook group or something? Media 7.
It's just a little thing, a couple of us put together every week, down at the local church.
Right.
One of us like is a lesbian, so it's okay.
Are you allowed communion though?
Mm? No. No, because we delve. Oh, I've got an email.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, sorry. Whoops. Shit, sorry. Oh, my God, that wasn't a joke. I just literally went, oh, I've got an email. I must check it immediately. Far out.
So the next story is about ADHD.
What?
Attention Deficit Hyperactive Disorder. Have you ever been tested, Jose?
Eh? Yes, not for that.
This website, this should be an animated GIF. Definitely, shouldn't it?
What have you been tested for?
GIF? Is it pronounced
GIF?
Oh,
no, let's not go down the GIF path.
It's GIF, isn't it?
It's GIF.
GIF.
It's GIF.
But it's GIF.
It's GIF.
There's a documentary about this.
I'm pretty
There's
sure
There's a
it's
tiny
GIF.
Documentary that I posted on Twitter the other day.
I didn't watch it.
It's,
are you fucking
it's like
kidding
six
me?
Minutes
it's
long.
GIF.
It's GIF. You can say GIF if you want. Lots of people
it's
say
GIF. It's GIF. It's fucking GIF.
It's GIF.
No, it's not. It's GIF.
No, it's GIF. GIF is the pronunciation.
It's GIF. It's fucking
it's
GIF.
It's GIF.
Okay. All right. Maybe in your own little like circles that you have. In your
My little
and
circles
stuff.
Of people who are correct.
Circle people who just, I don't know, like to feel better.
Circle
about
of jerks.
It's a circle jerk. Okay, GIF. Who said it was GIF?
I said it was GIF.
Well, fuck you then.
The guy that created it in like 1987 at CompuServe.
They're wrong though. I mean,
he was wrong. Everyone says GIF, so it's a flawed language. Go with the flow.
I think just people can say it however they want. Ben says the IRC is pooed.
No.
Looks all right to me. But then I'm already on. The stream looks all right as well, actually, still, amazingly.
Well, he lives in Antarctica, so what does he know?
It's working.
He suggests, actually, I can show you exactly what he says if I drag him over here. You're on the air, caller.
Did you bring him online? Are you talking to him? Is Ben with us?
Oh, I guess I could. I could just push this button and then see what happens. Call computer.
Don't do it.
Oh, that's good.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
Wow, that's loud.
Oh my God. I think you've just entered a portal into a black hole.
I need to turn Chrome down.
Okay.
No, I need to turn.
I really feel like a sandwich.
Can you get me a sandwich?
There
I have
we
only.
Go.
That'd be awesome.
So IRC is bad, huh, Ben?
IRC is poor.
This is a very strange setup that we've got here now. I think I need to take a screenshot. Yeah, done. Okay.
Is Ben joining us from the North Pole?
Ben's on Google Chat.
Sounds like he's joining us from the afterlife. Yep, definitely.
And I think he may have just started Skype, but if he joins the Skype, it's going to ruin everything because it's Skype normal. And so it doesn't do group video unless I pay.
Can I go to your fridge and get some alcohol?
Yeah, by all means.
Thank you.
By all means.
Very nice.
In fact, if you go a little bit further, if there's a bunch of white shelves, cupboards along the side there,
yes.
Maybe you could get a bottle of Jaeger and a couple of shot glasses.
Jaeger?
Yeah. Oh, this is going to go well. Morgan, Mark is also saying on the Twitters that the IRC is not playing nice.
There is literally nothing I can do about that.
That's right.
Ben could possibly fix it.
I would be
I'm
very surprised.
I'm and restarting all the demons and stuff, but it still just won't connect.
Right. Okay. Well, we tried, guys.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
Hey, I've got some interesting news about Justin TV, in fact.
I've got a resolution.
Oh, Ben's got a solution for us.
Give me 1 second.
I'm going to turn them up.
Okay, good. So, Justin TV, did you know it plays interstitial ads now?
What? Does it? Oh,
yeah.
Have we had that on our thing? Mine
yeah,
is,
I watched it on the embedded YouTube internets page on the discourse, and it played me an ad for I wasn't watching, so it's not very effective. But it played an ad.
So I mean, there are people on the IRC.
Yeah, and there are apparently 11 viewers on Justin TV. So you know, we're
rocking it. It's like we were never away at all. Our audience has all come back.
I got a Chevrolet. That's what I got. We're pretty much. I mean, we're basically TVNZ 7 with these kind of numbers.
So, you shouldn't say things like that. People will take that seriously.
Where's the toilet?
There's a sliding door just here. Oh, you didn't find your way to the Jager?
No. Sorry, I need to go to the bathroom first.
Right. Okay, so we've got a new chat room. It is awesome. Let's get a tiny URL for it. tiny.
So we've moved on from the Justin TV chat, and we then went to the IRC on the Discourse webpage, and now we're going to something else.
Okay, go to tiny. This is even worse. tinyurl.com/7je4fym.
Seriously? J-E-4-F-Y-M?
Yeah, let me bring it up on the screen there. There you go. Well, this is the direct address. Jabber.net, jabber.net/hash/rooms/discourse-nz.
I believe you can just drop the hash. It's, should still work. Oh, no, it doesn't work. Don't drop the hash.
Definitely don't drop the hash.
And so now Ben is no longer in charge of chat rooms.
Ben can stay in charge of chat rooms for as long as he likes.
All right.
Because in general, he's very good at it. It has to be said. Allegedly, I'm signing in using Twitter, which I bet it's going to send some fucking tweets for me.
No, it won't. Jabber is very safe. Very okay. safe.
All right.
I can vouch for the owners.
Where'd all these people come from?
You
oh, these are
the,
channels.
The general room.
How the hell do I... Oh, I need to bloody hit the page twice. Oh, well, that's... All right.
No, it's very poor. It redirects you to the main thing once you log in.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Hey, look at all these people. Good God, it's freakish.
Hello, people in the chat room, and hello, listeners to the podcast. I'm very sorry, but we're all kind of, you know, whatever.
If you're listening to the podcast in the future, the chat room's finished now, you've missed out. Also, how's the future?
Have you got jetpacks?
I would say so.
Hey, do you know what? I bet we can use this. It's too bad the music stops playing when I switch screens.
It is too bad.
I've got a camera for Robin.
Shall I try and exercise more of my industry contacts and we'll ramp up the production value again?
Oh yeah, if you like.
I don't know that I have any.
I think we should do a few. I think we should just do a couple of train wrecky ones. You know, a few easy lo-fi ones. Oh yeah, I could see your eyes for a second. Then your anonymity went away very briefly, and God forbid that your anonymity should go away, Dylan Roof, father of three. I might as well put your home address on that thing.
Yeah, please do that. That'd be awesome.
In fact, let's see.
Don't think you know it.
Desk view. Oh fuck! I don't like showing my fucking desktop. God damn it!
What the hell is wrong with you?
What's wrong with me?
You need to maintain, man.
What's wrong with me is when I push the new tab button, it opens up the most frequently opened website window, which lists all of the shit that I do all the time, which is not necessarily for public consumption. Right. I mean,
so incognito browsing, maybe?
Would that hide all of that stuff?
You need to use one browser for yourself and another browser.
That's right.
I think that's probably correct.
It's public browser and private browser.
I'll just stop watching that stuff.
Has anything interesting happened in the short period of time we've not been on air?
I've been really interested in Kony 2012, which everybody else is probably a little bit sick of at the moment. But it's utterly fascinating to me. mainly because of the response. I kind of think it's like our generation's Beatles versus Rolling Stones.
You mean like the kickback response, you know, the response people are...
Yeah, or the backlash and the counter-backlash. Yeah. Well, it's a counter-backlash now, I think. It's just
there
sort
a,
of...
Is there a counter-backlash backlash yet?
Soon. Either that or everyone will just forget about it, I think.
A counter-backlash backlash. Counter...
It's a counter-back... Counter-back, counter-back, counter-backlash.
Right.
I think that's the way you should do it. Yeah.
So I haven't seen the video. It's something about Coney Island, is that right?
It's all about corn dogs.
It's about cones, bro. It's a South Park animation about Coney. He's a cone. And people try to smoke him.
Did you hear about this internet pirate that was arrested in New Zealand?
No.
What?
Who's that? What did he do?
Kim.net.
Just quickly, here's one of the better kind of Coney 2012. Let's do a bit of fact checking articles that I've seen. It happens to be on Boing Boing, posted by Jenny Shinny. And you can see there these chaps from this right wing, homophobic, definitely anti-gay, Christian funded charity. What didn't occur to me the first time I watched the video, and I found it really powerful, actually quite moving, because a lot of the story is quite, you know, quite moving. You know, on a human level, we're looking at, you know, children being murdered and being forced to murder and being mutilated and brutalized, you know, on a kind of a systematic basis. But these guys are pro military intervention. So their logo is, it's, you know, supposedly a peace sign. Let's see if it's actually on their site. It's an upside down peace sign, you know, which would make you think, you know, perhaps these guys are, a peaceful organization. No, their whole thing is about keeping the U.S. military involved and increasing the U.S. military involvement for training the local, I guess it's Ugandan, military.
Well, there's like 100 so-called advisors.
But isn't special forces, right?
Special forces, yeah. in Uganda, apparently. Are they anti-gay?
They're people who fund the... Invisible Children organization are their biggest funders, their biggest backers are
right.
Very fundamental right wing.
That's interesting.
Christian groups. Yeah,
that's interesting. It's kind of the weird one. Well, the reason why it's so fascinating is exactly how you're supposed to respond to it, because yeah, you know, when I watched the video for the first time and went, well, it's quite powerful. That is a pretty powerful and slick piece of propaganda, and I mean propaganda, you know, without putting a value on it, not good or bad. Then I just, but all the things that people have been talking about, I've had the same reaction to. It was like, oh wow, they're sort of really paternalistic towards black people, to Africans.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bit in the video of the show, the guy, Jason Russell, the main guy, who made the film, and Jacob.
That's this guy right here.
Yeah.
The guy holding the AK-47. Yeah. That's that guy.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a bit where they're at, I don't know, SeaWorld or something, with this one of these former or child soldiers who escaped, a guy called Jacob. And the guy's like, oh, jumping back, because there's like a dolphin right there. And he's going, don't worry, Jacob, it's not a shark. It won't eat you. There was something about, and there's other stuff in there that makes me just feel a little bit like, just kind of falling into the same traps.
Yeah.
As in, you poor black people can't help yourselves. Can you? We've got to come and save you, like we always have to do.
Let us white people come and help out.
Having said that, I don't know. Like, it could be the best thing ever. I have no idea. And, you know, there's all those things that people were talking about, it being a completely simplistic view of the conflict, you know, in Uganda and Congo and in Central Africa. And not being particularly... I think just simplifying the whole thing. I mean, Kony's not even in Uganda anymore. It hasn't been for some time. But so the response has been really interesting, because like I said, it's kind of like, I don't know, our nation's Star Wars or something, like as in, you know, the defense system or something. There's something, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. something about it sort of, people are starting to talk about, well, you know, what does activism mean? Is this the right way to do this? Is military intervention really the best way to do this sort of thing? And that's, there's been tons and tons of people going, talking about it. Maybe that's not, it's just a simplistic thing. It's paternalistic, it's quite damaging. But then again, you know, there's a ton of people, it's been watched, you know, over 50 million times. Well, actually, sorry, the last time I looked, it was like 32 million times on YouTube and Vimeo. I was like, well, I'm not quite ready to completely slam it, because who knows? Like I say, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's the best thing ever. But at the same time, like, you know, if I was doing it, I'd probably put a little bit more thought into the video, as in I wouldn't necessarily paint everything in such a simplistic manner.
Spend more time talking to, you know, people who are actually in Uganda than your infant son, perhaps.
Right, yeah, that was pretty weird. But that's, maybe that's just a stylistic thing.
Yeah,
maybe that's just pure taste.
That's tugging the heartstrings of the, and maybe the, that's young what Americans,
it
right?
I mean, if it's, if the, the whole thing was to create awareness of this guy. Oh, have you seen the interview with Jason Russell talking about being simplistic? Have you seen the interview on MSNBC? I can't remember the show. I'll give you the link to it if you like. There's an interview with Jason Russell. There's a guy talking to him. And Jason Russell compares Joseph Kony to the Joker. He says, this guy's like the Joker in The Dark Knight. He just wants to see the world burn. I was like, oh my fucking God, you're joking. You're kidding. Really, you can't paint it that sort of broad, you know, you can't, that's just not, that's not serious, man. It's amazing. But the response is probably the most interesting thing, because everyone, it's, everyone's been, it certainly brought out righteous people on both sides.
Yeah. Very often, and it's counterintuitive to most of us. We should learn that our intuition is really, really bad way to judge things in advance. Military intervention has never been the best solution with this chap Kony. Firstly, what's it called? The Lord's Army or something?
The Lord's Resistance
Lords Army. Resistance Army. They total less than 200 people now, apparently. So while he talks about 30,000 children having been snatched up, it's not an army of 30,000. It's an army, you know, it's a tiny militia. It's like 150, 180 people at you know, most recent estimate. It's also, it's a group who has, as you mentioned, they've already fled Uganda because the military got quite effective at tracking them down. So they fled over the border into neighbouring nations. But the counterintuitive thing was military intervention is not even the most effective approach that's been taken. The most effective approach that's been taken so far was locals declaring an amnesty on former Kony soldiers. They said, come home and all will be forgiven. And guess what happened? They went home. They came home in huge numbers. Then, unfortunately, the central government said, no, you can't. We can't be having amnesties. These people did awful things. And so then they decided that it was illegal to declare an amnesty. They've got some, I don't know what the term is. There was some, you know, I don't even know what language they speak, actually, but some local word for it.
And the Ugandan government itself has been involved in,
you know, yeah, the Ugandan army's not.
Yeah, the army as well, and you know, certain people in the current government as well, have done their own nasty things, like, again, this whole child, stealing children and turning them into soldiers. So, but that gives you an idea of just how complex it is, because it all, of course it all, and it's much more complex than that video would have you think. Then again, that in the video, you know, Jason Russell does say, this is propaganda. And propaganda is supposed to be simple. If the only goal is to actually make people talk about it and find out a little bit more about the situation, but then maybe I'm kind of, you know, then maybe that he's done it.
Wasn't it promoting donations as well, though?
Sorry?
Was it promoting donations?
It was promoting, basically all it was in the video was, oh, hey, on this date, you're going to print out all these Joseph Kony posters and pass them out everywhere. And, you know, go to our website and get these bracelets or something. The bracelets apparently now are free because they've sort of, because Invisible Children's come out and with a response going through all the criticism that people have thrown at them. Some of it's convincing, some of it's not. I, you know, for a while they wouldn't they wouldn't audit, let people audit the donations, is how they spend that. But they've apparently they've released their financial statements now, so people can see where all the money is going. So that's kind of cool. And it's kind of a weird thing with charities. Because if you release that, you're always going to get people who go, oh, what? Some people get paid. Fuck that. You know, kind of thing. So I can kind of understand when people would be a bit, oh, God. But I guess you just kind of have to do it, particularly in the current current climate. I think, A, they simplify a very complex situation. It's never as simple as good guys and bad guys, although Coney is a totally bad dude completely. And he does need to be caught and run through the International Criminal Court. At the same time, I'm not kind of ready just to completely. I haven't seen anything yet that makes me go. They're well meaning, essentially. Do you know what I mean? Yep. And they just fall in that same usual trap of, these poor brown people, let's go save them, white people, kind of thing. And I can't, I can't deny the awareness that it's created, I think, has been.
The thing I always think about that is, if you're going to start doing that, how do you choose which brown people to go and save?
That's another point. There is a whole lot of bad stuff.
The ones with oil.
The pretty ones. The pretty ones of little lies. Those ones. Those are the ones you save.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the ones with the big eyes, like that.
Yeah.
That helps. Okay, well, that's helped me figure out exactly what my awesome viral video is going to be about.
Brown children with big eyes.
You've taking notes, I like it.
Yeah, brown children with big eyes.
But all the questions about activism it's brought up, people have been debating, I think is really important, you know. Do you have to simplify and completely dumb down your subject to get people interested? And if you do that, do you really have to? Like if I'm trying to raise money about an issue, or I'm trying to raise awareness, I have to dumb it down.
Yeah, like, of course.
Yeah, you do? Do you? Do you really have to?
I'm pretty sure you do.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't think you have to. But I could be completely wrong, because this, the Coney 2012 video has completely simplified it.
But it's just marketing, isn't it? I mean, you have to simplify complex ideas to get people to pay attention.
Do you? That's the argument, and I guess it's an old argument.
But I mean, the other thing is, it's like even just talking about it in this short period of time, it's clear that it's far more complex. It's like, even the really unsimple things, like you look at Michael Moore's documentaries and stuff, even though they're very unsimple, there's lots of detail and there's lots of information. They're also very editorialized.
Right. So they've got a narrative. There's a narrative.
Yeah, yeah. You can get all that. You're not going to get. It's not like they'd, these people, if they'd made it not so simple, would come out and give you all the information, equally from both. They wouldn't come out and tell you about the problems with the Ugandan army at the same time as telling you about Coney.
Mm.
So yes, it does. I'm pretty certain it does have to be simplified.
Maybe what I'm really saying is that, it's a difference between simplifying and dumbing down.
I don't know.
Creating a certain narrative.
You can always have more, but I think if you're trying to attract attention, you need to be, even half. Like that video for me, the reason I didn't watch it is because a couple of times I clicked on it and saw it was 30 minutes. I was like, I can't spend 30 minutes watching this right now.
Right.
Like even that was not quite dumbed down enough for me.
Right. Yeah, it still got over 32 million views.
Yeah,
an intense discussion on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really amazing. It's interesting. It's a very well-made video.
Yeah, I know, I've heard that. I've probably spent a lot more than 30 minutes reviewing various critiques of
it. Yeah.
I think you should just watch it.
But,
it's on my list.
But to get into the issue of dumbing down and simplifying stuff, on Media 7, I'm supposed to do each week, a setup track, a visual track, for each, to set up the issue that we're talking about, that's kind of what one of my jobs.
Yeah.
And I think you can do it without dumbing down. You do simplify it. It's like, for example, we're talking about Toby Manheyer and his Internaut column for The Listener, which he seems to have just started up again on just the other day. He seems to be able to get to the essence of any issue just in a few paragraphs. So while you don't have all the information, you're told something. He gets to the very essence of something. You're told you just by reading it, you're more informed, and you can go around way and read more stuff. I think there's a way of doing it where it is simplified. It's packaged in such a way where you don't actually pull any fast moves. You don't pull the rug out from other people. You don't cut corners. Yet it's still simple, and it still tells you something about the subject at hand.
Yeah, I guess I think in all those sort of circumstances, though, it always gets to the point where you have to leave out.
Yes, you do. Yeah,
quite a lot of stuff. Like even those, it's always the thing that anytime I read an article that I know anything about, I suddenly become aware of how much isn't being said.
Yes.
Or watch a news piece or something. Anytime you get that experience about seeing something you are more aware of than what is being reported, you're like, wait, there's all this other stuff that's not being said, and you know, while it's kind of unimportant, left out, it changes the impression that people are left with.
I guess
I think the way to avoid it.
Yeah, you just kind of avoid it. But I guess the question with Kony 2012 is, has it cherry-picked a narrative to engage people on the particular issue? And I would have to say yes, because as the guy even says it in the video, it's propaganda, you know.
Yeah, and in doing so, that's the most effective way they could achieve their means. I
mean, and they did, God.
It's unbelievably effective at achieving what they wanted to achieve. And it'll be interesting to see what effect it has for other people trying to do the same sorts of things, because suddenly a new paradigm has been exposed, high production value, slick narrative video.
That's the other question, because it's true what you say, but people have done really slick videos before.
Obviously just has to catch just the right
people
in the right way, but it'll be interesting to see how many more of those turn up now. Because I certainly hadn't really come across anything like that before.
I'm going to make a slick video about my need for pizza, I think.
I would like to see what happens.
Hungry?
Hey? No. That wasn't like a hint. That was like Morgan.
Because I was just.
I've been talking for 15 hours.
I was just told that the pizza hasn't been ordered.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
It's a good challenge, though. You should see how slick a video you can make, and then put it out there, and it's like a challenge to the pizza companies to give you pizza.
Yeah. Right. It needs to be like Kony 2012, because the winning thing about for them for that video was, of course Kony's a bad guy. Don't you want to see him stopped? Don't you? Yeah. Oh, you do. You don't want to see him stopped. Oh, what? Of course everyone would agree. So there's a slight, like any good propaganda or activism, it's like a slight bit of guilt on the part of the person who's watching it. Of course I want to see Kony stopped. Of course. I want pizza. Why wouldn't I want pizza? I'd be evil if I didn't have pizza.
Where do you stand on the want or not want pizza debate, Dylan?
I think Jose does want pizza.
He looks he wants pizza. Do you know who else looks like they want pizza?
I do not want pizza. That guy right there.
Does Morgan look like he wants pizza?
He really does.
Wants pizza.
But I will make do. So Ben has suggested
we move on yep.
to the story about the homeless people being used as hotspots at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas at the moment. Okay. Is it still going, or is it finished already?
I haven't heard this story. This sounds...
It's amazing.
Homeless awesome. Hotspots began as a charitable experiment at the South by Southwest Interactive Conference in Austin, Texas, but quickly morphed into a debate about the ethics of bridging the digital divide. It started with a blog post by the New York-based marketing company BBH Labs. This year in Austin, as you wander between locations murmuring to your coworker about how your connection sucks and you can't download, stream, tweet, Instagram, check in, you'll notice strategically positioned individuals wearing homeless hotspot t-shirts. According to BBH, these are homeless individuals in the case management program at Front Steps Shelter. They're carrying MiFi devices. Introduce yourself, then log on to their 4G network via your phone or tablet for a quick, high-quality connection.
Interesting.
Of course, it's not an accurate thing. MiFi just uses the cellular network anyway. So, MiFi can get a good signal, then you should be able to get a good signal.
Yeah, but that way you're using, you might not have a 4G device. you might not have a good data plan, you might be visiting from out of town or overseas. The need for a Wi-Fi network is real,
I suppose.
It does seem kind of userish, doesn't it? It's a little bit uncomfortable.
It's an organization from New York City. They come down, they're trying this new invention out to see can people, wireless and mobile, be out with hotspots, and they come to the homeless community and join with the arts and the homeless community first step to see that this invention work out to help the homeless, the ones that's out here participate and try to see can we boost this up to be more successful and more proper for a lot of people.
Well, you know, I mean, if it makes money for the, you know, the homeless support group, then is it a bad thing?
I like this Gawker article.
And it draws attention to them in a real way. You know, instead of being just isolated, they become face-to-face. It encourages face-to-face contact with them, which is really interesting.
Yeah, as this Gawker article said, it's a simple, innovative solution to an important pressing problem, lack of internet. So there you go. Solved it completely. So what's the objections to it? Unless I'm completely blinkered, I can't quite...
Well, Ben's objection to it is such bullshit, everyone at South by Southwest would have data.
Right, yeah.
So the need is not in fact pressing. I don't know, it seems a bit userist it seems to be taking advantage of people, but it's probably not really. I mean, presumably they're not doing it, no one's forcing them to do it except in as much as they possibly need money and will do anything for some amount of it.
Right. Do you think they even pay them in cash?
No, they probably just pay them in like
40 ounces.
Cell phone prepaid vouchers or something.
Sorry, I just made a terrible joke. Not all homeless people are mentally ill alcoholics.
Because one justification or one defense of it I've seen is, you know, there's schemes where there's a, you know, homeless people are given newspapers to sell. Sort of like and that's basically just the same thing, really. So you just sit next to the person, pay them some money, and you get some wire. You can check your bloody emails or something like that. I'm not sure I see what the supposed controversy is all about, actually.
Yeah. Maybe that is in the nuance of the thing. It turns out that you have to text the name. Actually, I can put this up. You text the name of the homeless person, as you can see here. It's on his T-shirt.
Yeah.
You text his name to 25827, and then that sends back a password. I don't know. Is that even a big deal?
So you don't actually need to talk to them. That's not
No, you don't need to talk to him. It's all on his chest on the T-shirt. Right.
So you don't just give him $2 or something.
Yeah. I was more impressed when you had to go and actually engage with him, talk to him.
I guess there's a thing about, you know, making it really impersonal and making people cogs of a huge machine, whereas, you know, the sort of homeless newspaper idea is a bit more, I don't know, how would you put it, sort of organic, maybe, so to speak, a bit nicer. So I guess there's that sort of argument, but I don't know if I buy it. If they're actually getting, you know, money from it, the dudes.
Someone just tweeted a link to apparently the best article about it, but it's long and I can't bother reading it.
Me neither.
But there you go. It's on TheVerge.com.
The Verge?
Where's
Verge. Oh, I love The Verge so much. I think The Verge, is The Verge completely new since we were on hiatus? Might have existed already.
It says homeless hotspots, the best, worst, smartest, dumbest part of South by Southwest. That's the headline.
I think I saw a tweet from Vaughn Namus earlier today, who's at South by Southwest, who just said there is no controversy because it's just so busy.
He says, here I'm interneting through a homeless dude.
Did he? I didn't see that one.
I don't know. I'm just imagining.
No, he's through a homeless guy. So I doubt it's actually that much of a controversy, according to him anyway. But he's probably just pissed.
Yeah, he lives in a strange little orange He can join world.
The club. Right on, brother.
All right, what's next? Have we got another story? Do we still play any games?
Kim.com. There's so much Kim.com stuff.
Tell me about Kim.com.
He's some dude who ran an internet site. And now he's in jail, but then he isn't and stuff. No, it's just... It's just the case so interesting. I don't know. I don't even know where to begin.
Did you use Mega Upload? Have you mega used
upload,
anything like that?
Mega upload.
So not a lot.
It's a hit.
I had legitimate files on Mega Upload in the past. I've actually, you know, used it as a storage locker for files that I was trying to give to people, legitimate ones that were not, you know, infringing any copyright or anything. And then I had actually recently, like just before Christmas, discovered a website called icestream.com, something like that, which was basically an index of links to predominantly Mega Upload, but other sharing sites as well.
Wait, Dylan, wait. You're going to enjoy this. Can you see the stream?
No, I can't.
The resemblance is like...
What?
I feel like I'm missing something.
I remember when all those photos came out. Basically, every journalist jumped on the internet and just got all these photos that were about 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that guy's hilarious.
And more than 5 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Which is the thing.
Did you see the... did you see there was an article in the Herald? It was the most ridiculous thing. It was... movie stars or stars who could play Kim.com in a movie, and it was basically just a list of fat people.
The wheel strikes again. Get great stuff here on online. Good on you.
But it's really interesting. There's so many weird aspects of it, including things like, you know, just trying to find a parallel in terms of what happened, you know, seizing all that information. One of the things that was really bothering me for a while was that, in fact, still potentially, that the information is, you know, all the data that was stored on their servers was not their servers, it was all leased servers. And, of course, once the money's frozen, the lease, you know, the fees can't be paid, and then potentially all that data is simply going to be deleted. Which, you know, is data that people own, but it was also potentially evidence for the defence.
Mm. It's weird, isn't it?
Because the FBI's had a chance to get all the stuff they wanted off it.
Yeah, wasn't there a sort of like agreement sort of made with the owners of the servers that they were going to just wait a couple of weeks? But that's passed by now, hasn't it?
Yeah, they've had a few delays. You know, they've managed to have a stay of execution, I guess you'd say, while they negotiate. Last I heard was they were trying to negotiate to get to bring it back online to the extent that people could log into their accounts and download their content.
To the extent that the FBI could download the files that they'd stored on Mega Upload?
The FBI and senators and members of the US Justice Department and other people who Mega Upload has identified as users.
Yeah. And whether that's true or not, whether it's like the Justice Department or it's some office kid who uploaded some MP3s or who knows what. I mean, they're not exactly revealing what the material is that has been uploaded by those IP addresses.
How much misinformation or lack of information was out there? Like, there was, I saw on, you know, there was the big interview that he did with Campbell Live, which was great. But the comments on the Campbell Live on their website were interesting. There was someone there who said, oh, it's ridiculous, you know, that he can claim that when 95% of the files on there were, you know, infringing copyright. And I'm just like, there's no way that number's not from anywhere. There's no way anyone could know that. It would take, you know, months of forensic investigation to figure out that kind of thing. And also, they talk about, what is it, like 1.5 billion files or something ridiculous. Like, it's really unlikely that the majority of those are, you know, at least I think, copyrighted material. It's much more like that it's people's random bullshit photos and, you know, maybe their MP3 collection or something, but God, I'd be very surprised if it was a majority of pirated content.
Basically, they just have to prove that Kim.com and his associates knew it was happening and didn't really care.
That's another thing. There's been lots of legal opinions on what they have to prove, because the only requirement under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is what should provide them protection in terms of, you know, in terms of web hosts not being responsible for the content that their users upload. The only thing they're required to do is take action upon being notified, and they had a system in place that was apparently doing that.
To the tune of thousands of links being removed a day, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, some people say that they sent claims, they sent DMCA claims to Mega Upload that were ignored, but at the same time, there were definitely thousands upon thousands of files being removed a day by apparently all the major movie studios, and you know, all the major content owners had direct access to remove any links they wanted.
Mm.
It's so hard not to see it as,
I mean, it's because it's interesting, all the claims that are made against Mega Upload could be made against YouTube 4 years ago or whatever, where, you know, it was clear that heaps of YouTube content was you know, pirated, whatever, and still is, and the YouTube people knew about it, and, you know, eventually they've got and to the place now.
And that's part of the defense, isn't it? The argument that they should be basically seen as just basically like YouTube.
Again, in the interview you had with Campbell Live, you made the point that there's also privacy, a privacy agreement with his users anyway, if not privacy law, that kind of prevents them from.
Here is Hell's Kitchen UK Season 1 Episode 1, Part 1 of 5. It's on YouTube right now. It's been there since 2007. You can watch the entire episode. And of course, it's all completely illegal. That's YouTube. Well, that's YouTube right now.
What YouTube's done is really fascinating, because YouTube's got to the point now where they have, you know, quite an advanced content detection system. And when they detect content that is uploaded that is infringing. So if I'm, you know, let's say I'm TVNZ and I upload episodes of Media 7 as they're recorded and say, this is my content. It doesn't go online. It just gets uploaded into like an identification database. Then if Jose, with his secret YouTube handle, Media7Fan01, uploads...
LOL.
uploads the episode.
Oh my God.
Then YouTube identifies that it's the same content and informs TVNZ and says, you know, or TVNZ's kind of already defined a process. They either have the content taken offline or they monetize it, essentially. They put an ad in it and TVNZ gets revenue. So that's how they've addressed that.
Yeah.
And you know, when you use music on it, you know, you'll notice all those YouTube videos have links to iTunes or whatever to buy music that's been used in the videos.
Yeah.
All that's how they do it, how they address it now. But
and also geo-blocking, which is the least sophisticated approach. Very frustrating.
Yeah. Very frustrating.
Oh, that makes me want to punch myself in the balls when that happens.
Well, what you need to do then, if you get geo-blocked, is go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up, because you can decide exactly what country you want to appear to be in. Lately, I've been spending a lot of time in Sweden, for some reason. Also Canada, occasionally, not so much lately. But if I was spending time in the US, and I can, just with two clicks of my mouse, I can watch Hulu from the US, or I can change over to be in the UK, and I can watch BBC iPlayer if I wish. And, you know, it might be against terms of service, but it is all completely legal.
Excellent.
Discourse.co.nz/VPN. Yep, completely legal.
It's really hard to not to avoid the conclusion that .com was made, and it was basically targeted as a plan to make an example. The FBI wanted to make an example of him. I mean, the fact that the way they cracked into his house, for a start.
Yeah.
Was just incredible. And I think the only justification I've read about that is, oh, he might have run into his house and hit a kill switch on some data or something. which is weird, because he managed to get inside the house anyway, running for his paddock room. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. That is the...
They may or may not have a case against him. Like,
imagine the alternate scenario, right? That he's, you know, it's morning, you know, around breakfast time, two dudes in suits knock on the front door and say, can we talk to Mr.com, please? His staff go and get him. They sit down at the breakfast table and say, you know, look, Mr.com, we have an arrest warrant. We have an arrest warrant here for you. We need to take you back to the North Shore Police Station to discuss this matter. And what's he going to do? Then is he going to get up and run away? Or... You know, it's not like they turn up and he immediately knows that something's going to happen and is going to trash all his data. It's not until they sit down at the table with him, a meter away from him, that they play their hand, you know, rather than landing a helicopter and shit, which sends a pretty clear message.
And all that flight risk stuff is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
On a, in a helicopter, strange. They have limited flight ranges, and none of their flight ranges go to anywhere outside New Zealand.
Yeah, I think
but they can go to a boat in international waters.
Because we live in a James Bond movie, obviously.
You're forgetting Norfolk Island.
Well, look, he has money, therefore he can buy...
Can he make it to Norfolk Island?
Oh, actually, I assume so.
And he's a criminal, therefore he knows other criminals who can get him fake documents.
Oh, easy. Obviously. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Having said that, I mean, this has got no relation to the case whatsoever, but it's more a character thing. I know at least of two cameramen who claim that he employed them to film him on his escapades with his buddies overseas and in New Zealand. And basically gypped them out of their paper.
Oh, now easy.
There's a whole forum they can go to.
Don't be saying Don't be saying gypped. You might as well say Jude.
Oh, really? Right? Oh. Oh,
to any thieving gypsies in our audience, we apologise that Jose said gypped. He obviously didn't understand.
They're called freedom
what he was
people.
Saying.
Thank you.
Let's
freedom
be fair.
Travellers.
What Jose meant was he jewed them out of their money.
Yeah, he jewed them out of their money. Yeah, so carry on.
That's the claim. I know, and one of them... Really? Is it offensive? I never even thought of it. Thank you very much. It's great.
Gypped as in gypsy.
Of course it never...
As in the other group that was, you know, herded into poison showers and burned in ovens by Nazis.
Let's just say he refused... They claim he refused to pay the money that he owed them. and in one case was told, apparently, as is claimed, that he didn't get to where he was by paying people.
Right.
So if that's true, that man is a big see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's tough. So Kevin Long in the chat room. Kevin Long.
In the chat room.
Kim.com outrunning the police seems like a fairly poor reflection on our police force. I mean, it's not like he is hard to spot in a crowd.
Yeah, well,
he's like 6 foot four or 6 foot six or something. He's a giant amongst men.
So the flight risk is just not. It's ludicrous.
It is ludicrous.
We know that.
It is ludicrous.
Yeah.
The weird thing about that was like when he got given bail after whatever it was.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks,
thank God for that. That's reinstated my faith in the justice system.
But then the Crown Law, on behalf of the US government, went back to appeal that. I really want to know if Crown Law had any scope to say, actually, no, this is stupid, or if they just have to basically do whatever the requesting government asks of them.
I think that being on electronic bail, he's got an ankle bracelet or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's not like he's free. They know where he is at all times.
I don't think it's a GPS thing. I think it's just a...
It means he's within like range of a wireless base point, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
He could just
run away.
but he couldn't run away, though, could he? Because he doesn't have money.
Well, no, that was the argument. That was the whole argument that they made in the application to have him returned to remand was that he did have money, that they actually knew that he had money in other countries, like in Hong Kong and stuff, and they hadn't been able to seize.
As Kaiwana, who we remember from one of my favourite episodes from season two, says in the chat room, and he can't use the internet. And that's right. His modern warfare... ranking must be plummeting because he was the top ranked player of Call of Duty Modern Warfare in the world, which I think is fucking awesome.
Apparently he used aimbots. That's what I heard.
A cheater. Oh, fuck him then. That actually wouldn't terribly surprise me. Also, Kawana gives us a little bit of detail on how the bracelets work. It uses GPS and the cell network. So there you go. I don't know if the bracelet has that in it or if the base station has that in it or what, I don't know.
But the best thing to come out of it has been everybody talking about it. Suddenly, it just sort of like a week after it happened, everybody went, fuck, if Mega Upload can do it and give us all this content, why the fuck can't any traditional content providers and makers do that? Like, they can't, like, you know... I was fucking downloading something after that and going, and it came down in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I would gladly pay that money. It's like that oatmeal cartoon, which went around.
He was in New Zealand when he drew that as well.
Was he? Oh, great.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just so fucking obvious.
I met him. Why didn't you come down to Webstock?
We can afford to. June's coming up very soon.
It's interesting what you say about that, though, because the television... I've written about this in the past. I'm going to write about it again soon. But the licensing model with television internationally and how it's funded and how it's produced just really, really precludes international sale. When a music track is released, you know, pretty much around the world, EMI owns the rights to it or whatever. EMI can release it in all territories at once if they want to, or movies as well. The same thing, you know, Universal usually has a global distribution agreement with the movie, and so they can release it in all territories all at once if they want to. Television is much more complex. So, you know, if you imagine just a whatever American show, let's say Community, because that's coming back on TV soon.
Thank God.
In the States.
All right.
But so Community can, you know, it's being made by NBC or made by a couple of production companies for NBC. NBC pays for it. NBC is the primary client. Once NBC screened it, they then give it, you know, put it on Hulu or Netflix or wherever it goes after that, or iTunes. And
if you want to watch it on Hulu, you can go to discourse.co.nz/VPN. Carry on, Dylan.
Well, and then it's also available for sale to international broadcasters. And when an international broadcaster buys the rights to it, they buy broadcast rights, and they'll also have an exclusivity clause, which means essentially that it can't be provided to it can't be provided in other forms in the same same territory before it's been broadcast. So even if a broadcaster didn't buy the internet rights to it, and most of them don't, they buy streaming rights to it, which means they can do a catch-up service, but it's time limited after the broadcast. But even if they didn't buy those rights or something else, or there was Netflix operating in New Zealand, then essentially they, you know, Netflix couldn't do anything with it in New Zealand anyway, because the broadcaster that owns the rights to it would have an exclusivity pause, a period of time that they could, you know, exercise, and no one could do anything with it. And because all the money is structured from broadcast, there's nothing we can do about that. So essentially, you know, until the way the business is changed, until the business structure is changed, there's no way to reform that. So at the moment, like Netflix in the States is bringing back Arrested Development. In that scenario, Netflix owns the primary rights to it. It'll go on to Netflix first of all in the States, and could potentially be available on Netflix to everywhere in the world, because Netflix owns the rights to it, and they can decide what the hell they want to do with it. And then they could sell secondary broadcast rights to broadcasters around the world as well, for people who don't want to use Netflix. But then it's harder for broadcasters to sell advertising into it, because it won't be as, you know, it wouldn't be as such a high demand show.
I'm going to get so fat once we get to the point where people are just making stuff and putting it online for $2.
Have you heard about what Zay Frank's doing?
I'm not going anywhere. Oh, it's a Kickstarter thing, eh?
Super funded. He was after $50,000 to make another series of the show with Zay Frank. And last I checked, he made like $143,000. I kicked in a couple of shekels. And,
good on you.
And in exchange, he's painted or sketched a drawing of his signature and signed it. And he's sending it off down to me. And he's giving me some copies of his show. Some people may be wondering where they recognize me from. Where they recognize me from is that I made the goddamn Earth sandwich, motherfuckers. Me and those chaps in Portugal and Spain. It was all us. Earth sandwich. If the Earth was a sandwich, we'd get along so well. Yeah, but people who remember Zay Frank's The Show will remember the Earth sandwich, which was fucking fun. It was so cool. It was the same week that you might remember, I've probably mentioned this to you before, that I got the worst and really only kind of food poisoning that I've actually ever been consciously aware of as being food poisoned, because something I can never possibly forget, because while throwing up from this sudden onset food poisoning, I actually passed out. And the worst thing you can do while throwing up is pass out, because it means you stop aiming. When I came to again, it's lucky I didn't choke. I imagine I was only out for a moment, so I, you know, probably there wasn't any real chance of a choking. But when I came to, it was just everywhere. It was all over me. It was such a Oh, it was so terrible. It was so terrible. Anyway, that sandwich. And actually, it was a sandwich that poisoned me. I made a bacon and egg sandwich. It was right after there was a period of Auckland blackouts, you'll probably remember, I think, in 2006. And the fridge was out for a few hours, and then I used the bacon from the fridge a couple of days later, and who knew?
I don't get
food. I remember that. You told me about that at the time, actually.
Yep, it was awful. It was so awful.
I don't get food poisoning.
You don't get food poisoning because you don't eat? Or
the old iron guts beats anything into submission. I think I felt queasy once after eating something.
Wow.
But that was for a matter of, it was like half an hour.
Mm.
This thing here, just, poor. I eat, it goes in, stuff happens, there's turmoil, and then that's it.
I love that T-shirt, by the way.
Thank you. I've really got to start playing that game again.
I don't know.
It's been a while.
Actually, we could talk a little bit about games. Does anyone care how long this episode goes?
I'll get bored and go away at some point.
I'll need to go to the bathroom at some point.
Again?
Yeah, I've already been, haven't I?
Well worth.
That was a nice bathroom.
Thank you.
Clean. You guys do very well.
Yeah, we try to...
No, there's like hair around in the corners as well, which is what I noticed, which is good.
Yeah, we try to keep things tidy.
Yeah, skirting boards are clean.
Did you like put on a white glove and run your finger along?
No, I just got on my hands and knees and had a look. Don't touch. I didn't think it was my place. You don't touch it.
Give everything a good sniff.
A good sniff.
Sniffing toilet seats. It's a hobby. It's a hobby and it's a lifestyle.
It's something I just do.
If only it could also be a living.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Anyway, so we could talk a little bit about games. There's games that I've been playing and games that I wish I was playing. I don't remember what. Oh, no, it was leading up to the election show, actually, that meant that I never tried out Saints Row the Third, which is a kind of a Grand Theft Auto style game. Open world, run around, steal cars, do crime.
But it's basically just a hell of a lot more fun. Like, we were talking about before we came live. Somebody's coming in the door. What should I do?
Whoa!
What's that?
Whoa!
Are those pies?
Whoa! What is this?
Pizza. I don't know
what to do. Pizza's arrived!
Yeah.
Oh my god, check it out. He wished it and it happened.
Oh, can I have some pizza? That'd be great.
Is it? There are cleverly placed.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful. Oh, lovely. Hey, I'll take this little one, eh? Thank you.
Guys, I don't have any pizza.
Dead air for a second? Oh, it gets better and better.
Do you have a Dylan? Do you have a 3D printer with a pizza dough?
No.
We can probably send something to you.
No, that's all right. I'll I had dinner, so that's good.
You hate dinner?
I had.
Oh, you
had.
I've eaten dinner.
Yeah.
I'm quite fond of it, but I've eaten it.
Oh, I have one of these little garlic bread. Garlic bread. There's nothing better than garlic bread. And I have a wedge. Well, three. There you go.
Very sorry about that. Yeah, so it's a Grand Theft Auto style game, but it doesn't take itself seriously. And you might say, well, Grand Theft Auto is just a game. Surely that's not taking itself seriously. Yeah, but when you play Saints Row the Third, you discover how much more fun that style of game can be if you actually do just take the piss a bit. It's like, do you remember the running with scissors game called Postal 2?
I do.
Now, I mean, it was terrible because it had all those loading points. You could only go like half a city block or a town block and then it would load again. And back then it was like, I don't know, 1999 or something. And so computers were all slow and so the loading took forever. But, I mean, you could do things like piss. And,
yep.
You know, you could set things on fire but kind of in a comic sort of a way. And there was a... you know, one of the characters was what was that little guy's name? I can't remember his name. From different strokes. What you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, him. That guy. That
I've heard it's rude to talk with your mouth full.
Gary Oldman.
Mm.
No,
okay. Coleman.
Coleman. Gary Oldman.
Close.
Yeah, I've had three beers. Don't be so.
So he appears as a character in like a little security guard costume and runs around.
If fucking Gary Oldman appeared in the video game.
And you could... Awesome. No, I'm not talking about Saints Row for a second. I'm still talking about Postal 2. And you could silence your shotgun and pistol by catching a cat like there were cats just running around in this town. You could catch one of those and kind of jam it on the end of the barrel of the weapon, and then you could shoot through it a couple of times and it would be silenced so no one would hear. And you could not just piss kind of, you know, you could unzip and walk around, you know, wearing whatever you are wearing. But you could then kind of piss a stream, and you could just do that, you know, wherever you wanted. And so you could walk up to someone and like just piss on their face, and people would freak out and run away. And sometimes you'd manage to get it in their mouth and they'd start throwing up. And that was all in this game, and it was insane. And I mean, that's obviously not taking itself seriously. And yet, you know, it didn't have car theft that I can recall, but it did have kind of, you know, running gunplay in the streets with, you know, sort of a sandboxy environment, although constrained by the technology of the time. You know, so there are different approaches, and Sanctuary the Third takes it even further. So, you know, there were costumes in two, like, so you could run around, like, dressed up as a mime.
But essentially the focus is on play rather than story.
Yeah.
Which has been an interesting focus, like, you know, the latest Grand Theft Auto game is quite clearly based on story. Mm. And it's quite a good story too, actually. Mm. I really enjoyed it. So we've kind of, it's interesting because we've kind of got to the point where we've been waiting for, oh, finally, someone's actually worried about story in video games. Mm. But we're kind of also going, yeah, but it'd be nice to be just really have just madcap fun, wouldn't it? So we're kind of wanting the best of both
and
worlds.
Yeah, and that's what Sancho brings you. It brings you madcap fun.
Which is cool.
So he's gone to have a wee, or maybe he's gone to take care of a baby. Because let's not forget, Dylan Reeve, father of three.
Father of three, goodness. What a saint.
That's more than me. Three more than me.
Mm, me too. I did have three caterpillars. Let me tell you, that was difficult. Really difficult.
You'd have to nurse them every 3 hours.
Well, I basically lie back on my, on my back, and the little caterpillars would crawl up to one of my nipples and feed from my nipples.
Mm.
I couldn't do anything for 3 hours, which is fine, but they had to live, you know. I had to feed them. I took my responsibilities really serious. No, I had to buy, like, I've had to buy, like, two swan plants.
Because
they ate the first swan plant.
Mm.
And then I had to buy another swan plant and then move them to the swan plant. And then they ate that swan plant.
And they're so ungrateful, monarchs.
They are. They just fuck off. But what could I do? And then I accidentally dropped one and then picked it up and then accidentally dropped it again and it went on a puddle and drowned.
You that just left cool. Where you dropped it.
Well, I couldn't be bothered after that, quite frankly.
Was it wiggling, or were you, you know?
No. I spent, like, you know, a whole afternoon pulling caterpillars off the swan plant, throwing them over the balcony. It was raining caterpillars that day on Lawn Street.
These wedges are so good. I'm very sorry, listeners. Very sorry, listeners, but you need to understand that
They're good.
It's 10 in the evening. It's 10 in the evening in the studio, and I haven't had any dinner, so... When the opportunity...
But speaking of games, Skyrim's still rocking my world.
Oh, Skyrim.
I'm still fucking the shit out of that. I'm up to 150 hours in-game.
Oh, I can see how many hours I'm at. I don't think I'm at 150, but...
My God. And it's weird because it's so glitchy. It's a real glitchy game, but I love it so much.
I made a terrible mistake.
What have you done?
There we go. We can see exactly how many hours I've got. 114 hours.
Nice.
So far fewer than you, but, you know, probably still an embarrassing amount. Fuck it. God damn it, I had that fucking start page again. I made the mistake. When the mods were released, like the developer kit or something came out, and then, like, you could install mods. I installed, like, the medallion of... the voice or something stupid like that.
Right.
And that meant that the recharge time on shouts is like zero.
Mm.
And so then it'd be like, oh, I'm in a battle. I'm just going to shout until they're all dead. And I think I should just take it off. I could. It's in my power to take it back off.
The only mods I've added are the one that adds roads to the map, to the in-game map.
I didn't find the good one for it.
No, that is, it's a better quality map, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And I use Sky UI. To change the awful, awful user interface. It really is fucking terrible. Although I took it off because I thought I had poked the game for a while.
Mm.
But those only two I've used. Oh, of course I downloaded the, you know, ones that gives women big boobs and stuff. And you can see their muffs and stuff.
Does anyone remember way back in the days of 3D?
What?
Do you remember Wolf 3D?
Mm-hmm.
Wolfenstein 3D. Do you remember you used to be able to get like alternate sprite packs that would change the game?
Oh, so the walls would be all porn pictures.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Good times.
Hey guys, how long do you think we're going to be going?
Another week or so.
Oh, cool. I might have to go soon.
Well, that probably gives us a good ending.
Don't all start crying at once. Silence.
I've got garlic bread. There's nothing to
cool.
bring me down.
You're all right.
Nothing can bring me down at all.
I've been playing Dear Esther, or I played Dear Esther. I played as a weird... have you heard about Dear
Esther?
I've
heard about it, but I haven't played it. Tell me about it.
Dear Esther... Hang on, I'll just let me text someone. You guys just eat.
Did he just stop to text? Is that what he said?
Yeah. Sorry. I do it all the time on the show.
Like, sorry.
I mean, everyone at TVNZ seems to think it was okay. I don't know. Anyway.
Joseph, this isn't Media 7. This is proper stuff.
Yes, it is proper stuff.
This is a proper podcast.
We take our role as public broadcasters very seriously.
I understand. We are a public broadcaster, aren't we? Dear Esther is originally a mod for... I think it was for Half-Life 2. That some dudes made, and then a guy came along and kind of took it over from the original guy and created an original game and got sign-off from Valve and the makers of Half-Life 2 to continue it as a separate game. Worked on it with a professional composer, etc., etc. Essentially, I'm using the term game, but it's not really a game. You just end up on this island. And as you walk along the island, and the path you take triggers off this voiceover, which is apparently reading a letter to someone called Esther. You don't know who it is. So, and eventually you end up, maybe an hour of 40 minutes, an hour of playing time. Essentially, it's more like sort of a narrative poem. But the soundtrack's beautiful, the ambient noises, the level design, if you want to call it that, is fantastic. And you finally learn that it's about a letter it's about a person who was killed in a car crash, etc., etc. And all it is just walking around this very hyper-detailed island, and it triggers, depending on which way you go, it triggers different parts of this letter that this person is reading out to you. It's absolutely fantastic. Like, I downloaded it from the Steam from Steam, and just played it, and it was like, played it, and it was fantastic. I was like, holy shit, that's incredible. So I'm sort of going sort of real indie games at the moment. Like Bastion's the next one I'm probably gonna download and play. Hey, it's a golden era, guys. Get into it.
Oh, I don't play games.
games.
I don't. Two reasons. One, I don't have enough time, and two, my computer's just too shit.
Yeah.
Apparently that is what Dear Esther looks like.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. It's amazing.
A log and some grass.
Yeah, but it's really effective.
I feel like I've already played it now.
It's more like a multimedia experience, but that sounds so wanky.
Are there any spoilers in this picture that we can see here?
Yeah, the log was driving the car.
Wow.
That crashed into the other car, yeah.
And it was remorseless as well.
Oh, totally. It just drove on.
Just like David Bain.
Yeah, about that.
About that. About that. I bet Robin Bain was driving that car. Weep-a-doo, whoop-a-doo-doo. So what else do we do on this show? I don't really remember.
We talk about some things that absolutely positively aren't... video or television piracy.
What's your auntie been talking about? Like that.
Oh, we do that as well, which is an unrelated thing.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Did that seem quite loud?
Seemed cool, echoey too.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Yeah, the setup here in the new studio is a bit different from how it was in the old one.
Okay, that's fine.
The lights in the apartment across the way have turned out.
That probably means they're sexing each other now. All three of them.
It's four.
I can't really be bothered doing the VPN stuff anymore. I haven't set up a toot bag.
Good.
Let's see if there were any recent mentions. Unfortunately, I haven't been saving them.
Oh, dear.
And, of course, since we've been off the air for 4 or 5
Everyone's forgotten about us.
Yeah, we're pretty much off everyone's radar again.
It's gonna pop up in people's, you know, podcast.
Assuming they didn't unsubscribe. And they're going to freak out. Can't wait for the return of Discourse. The Morgan, Ben, Dylan Reeve. Hash flutters eyelashes. Hash corned beef. That's from Chris Bainbridge. Chris_BNZ on Twitter.
He was clearly in an interesting emotional state at the time.
Yeah.
You need to set up some fans in here because I'm sweating. Like
we've got fans. Oh,
we've got so many fans.
Oh, you guys, you're crazy.
Is there a Discourse live tonight? First of the new season? That's from the 7th of February.
Yep, pretty much.
That was Jake Osborne.
Very, very keen.
Apologise for the false starts, but you understand from how train wrecky it's been tonight that, you know, if we'd started any sooner, it would have been even worse. I don't know.
You haven't played train wreck once.
Oh, have I not played train wreck?
No. So how can it be a train wreck?
There you go.
Shit.
That's the train wreck music.
Beep. 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 I've actually got a slightly better one than that. It doesn't come with any music, but I might as well fire it off.
Yep. No, well, do recall, of course, that a lot of people will be just listening to this.
Well, they probably should have watched.
Okay. Just saying.
So it's been suggested that we do Fast Five. There's no way we're doing Fast Five. We've already done Ultra Slow 4. So, we're down onto Last Thoughts, I suggest. Last Thoughts, Robin Bain. Less said the better, probably, because I've got a feeling there's going to be... I don't think they're ever going to do any lawsuits about people criticising David Bain for having killed his whole family and blaming his dad, who he also murdered. I don't think they're going to do it because they know that a civil case would find against him, because as a statement of fact, it's quite clear that he killed his family and murdered his father and then set it up to look like a suicide.
Wouldn't it be pretty difficult? I mean, I don't know what's the deal with... you know, it takes quite a lot to actually be...
Well, it'd be a civil case, so the standard of proof could be quite different from the one under which he managed to get off.
Like, just saying that is enough? Well, I mean, I don't know. I could say you killed your whole family. It doesn't mean I have to go. It doesn't mean you could sue me.
Well, no one would believe it. But a lot of people do believe that David Bain, you know, killed his whole family and also executed his father and staged it to look like a suicide. A lot of people believe that because all the evidence that was presented in court really pointed to that. It certainly said that Robin didn't do it. Certainly said that Robin, it was essentially impossible that Robin could have done it. And really that left only one person. So either it was some random person off the street who did it with David's rifle right after David had said that the way he would try and get off murdering his family would be to use the excuse of his paper round. So either it was some random person who just happened to do it exactly the way that David outlined to a friend of his a year or two earlier, or it was David himself. And that first conviction and then the several appeals court confirmations of the validity of that conviction, they were actually correct. And the only miscarriage of justice was the last one, which said that, you know, maybe he didn't, and so maybe he'd need to be retried, if anything. And then the Crown said, no, we're not going to do it again. I think that was the only mistake.
Apparently he runs a mobile coffee van somewhere in West Auckland.
I'm feeling a bit sleepy. I wonder where I need to go to get... oh, my God, does that mean he dispenses shots?
I guess so.
Oh, shit.
Some people might get a double or a triple.
Oh, shit. And then someone might, you know, gurgle as the life drained out of them.
Or into them.
Mm. So, hey, you know what other New Zealand podcasts there are? Me neither. Who cares? The Egonomist. The Egonomist exists. TheEgonomist.co.nz. Those guys have actually, or one of those guys has actually been on the show before.
Can I recommend a non-New Zealand podcast I've just started listening to?
Sure.
Penn Sunday School with Penn Gillette.
Don't you think he's a bit kind of beats the same old drum?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to listen to. He's it's quite, it's a bit atheisty. But also gets into his libertarian stuff, which I don't really agree with a lot of
it. It's very easy to disagree with libertarians.
Yeah, he's very libertarian as well. He's like the government shouldn't build roads, libertarian.
Yeah.
But still interesting. Talks about some of the magic stuff they do, and he's on the American series of Celebrity Apprentice at the moment, so they talk about that a bit.
Right.
That's just interesting. An interesting sort of rambling podcast.
That actually sounds like it could be quite cool.
If you like that sort of thing.
There's another one you could listen to. It's nztechpodcast.com. If for some reason you wanted a tech podcast and decided you didn't just want to listen to like Twit or something, or one of the international ones who have already all of the access and probably months before New Zealand podcast would have it, if you decide you don't want to listen to, you know, some of the most informed and connected people in the world and instead just want to listen to some guys in New Zealand, nztechpodcast.com. That's
If you thought you were listening to a New Zealand tech podcast and accidentally downloaded Discourse, which is not a tech podcast at all.
Never.
It's a comedy podcast.
It's a talk podcast.
Oh, is it?
Hmm.
I'm so confused.
No, except that we're not a podcast. We are Internet Underground Radio, as described in NBR. Thank you, Chris. I appreciated that, actually.
That's right.
And now, in some respects, you could say that we were Internet Underground Television. And where else, except on the Internet Underground, would you get an awesome shot like that?
I can't see it. I'm not watching the stream.
Sorry.
tech stuff
bores me.
Texting and me just being generically pixelated.
Have I got an outro? I don't have.
Oh, really, no, you can see the three beers I drank. No good.
I haven't set up everything correctly for doing the outro. I think just
press the go to black button.
Just sing a song. Morgan Nickel.
He's essentially bald.
That's weird. I was going to sing, he has no hair.
Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.
Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish and chips.
This show is cancelled.
Beep. I don't have the...
Nailed it.
Intro. Nailed it. Here's one.
You're listening to the weekly show
Whiskers. Right, we're using that one.